Daniel 11:11. And the angel continues to tell Daniel, "And the king of the south shall be moved with rage and go out and fight with him, with the king of the north, who shall muster a great multitude, but the multitude shall be given into the hand of his enemy. When he has taken away the multitude, his heart will be lifted up, and he will cast down tens of thousands, but he will not prevail. For the king of the north will return and muster a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come at the end of some years with a great army and much equipment. Now in those times, many shall rise up against the king of the south. Also violent men of your people shall exalt themselves in fulfillment of the vision, but they shall fall." Now, these violent men are Hebrews, the violent men of your people. And so these are literal translation is robbers of your people. But these are Hebrews that went and fought, and they were destroyed also. They thought they were doing God's will, but they were not. And verse 15 of this rapid succession of event after event is, "So the king of the north shall come and build a siege mound and take a fortified city, and the forces of the south shall not withstand him. Even his choice troops shall have no strength to resist." So now Don Simpson's comment on this rather lengthy passage is, "Ptolemy was angered at the approach of Antiochus and went forth to fight him. It has been said that Ptolemy had about 70,000 infantry, 5,000 cavalry, and 73 elephants. The multitude of verse 11, which defeats the other multitude, is the vast army of Antiochus. These two armies engaged in battle at Raphia, and Antiochus suffered a severe defeat with a loss of about 10,000 men. Ptolemy's heart was lifted up in pride over the victory," from verse 12. "Though he had complete victory at Raphia, his defeat was not long lasting. He did not follow up his victory by strengthening his position before resuming his life of self-indulgence. Antiochus III raised up another army," from verse 13, "and made a second expedition against Egypt. This was about 13 years after the battle at Raphia. And Ptolemy Philopater was now dead. The substance consisted of the weapons and equipment of warfare. Antiochus defeated Ptolemy V's army in the Battle of Panium with the aid of the Jews," from verse 14. "The many refers to the factious Jews who, perhaps thinking they were fulfilling prophecy, made a league with Antiochus against Egypt. This served for their own hurt, since they fell into the hands of the Seleucids and later Antiochus Epiphanes," which was Antiochus IV. But that's in the future. "The well-fortified city was probably Sidon, where Scopas, Ptolemy V's general, was in seclusion after his former defeat. There were probably other fortified cities also taken by Antiochus III. The Egyptian armies tried to spare Sidon, but failed to halt Antiochus's siege, and then Scopas had to surrender." Now we'll continue with verse 16 through 18. "But he who comes against him shall do according to his own will, and no one shall stand against him. He shall stand in the glorious land," and this is Palestine, "with destruction in his power. He shall also set his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom, and the upright ones with him. Thus shall he do, and he shall give him the daughter of women to destroy it. But he shall not stand with him or be for him. After this, he shall turn his face to the coastlands and shall take many, but a ruler shall bring the reproach against them to an end, and with the reproach removed, he shall turn back on him. So Don Simpson's comment on this is, verse 16 brings on the height of victory for the Seleucids as they stand in the glorious land. The glorious land is Palestine. In taking this land, Antiochus III filled his heart with pride and haughtiness as fortress after fortress fell into his hands until he reached the land of Judea. The words "in his hand shall be destruction" does not mean that he destroyed the glorious land, for such would contradict history. It obviously means completeness or finality in the surrender. Antiochus tried to contract peace by giving his daughter Cleopatra in marriage to Ptolemy V. His purpose was to gain Egypt as an ally since Rome had gained such progress. He thought that his daughter would always side with him, spying out Egypt and serving the best interest of the Seleucids while in Egypt. However, this arrangement did not work in his interest. Instead, she congratulated the Senate of Rome when her dad was defeated by the Romans. Antiochus then turned his attention to seize many of the islands and coastlands of the Mediterranean. He now felt an advantage since Philip of Macedon had been defeated by the Romans. After taking the dominion once belonging to Philip, he took Thrace in Europe. The Romans demanded that he give up the former dominions of Philip, and when he refused, war broke out and he was driven out of Europe. He was defeated by Lucius Scipio at Magnesia, and he was a Roman general. So this is the beginnings of the Roman, not the empire yet, but beginnings of Rome rising up to later become a strong Roman empire. So this is the very beginnings of it. Reproach came back upon Antiochus's head when he was forced to give up all his territory west of the Taurus. So now we'll finish up with these last two verses, 19 and 20. Then he shall turn his face toward the fortress of his own land, but he shall stumble and fall and not be found. There shall arise in his place one who imposes taxes on the glorious kingdom, but within a few days he shall be destroyed, but not in anger or in battle. And Don Simpson says about these two verses, verse 19 describes the enormity of his fall. The expense of the war and heavy taxation drove him to temple robbery. He was later slain in disgrace. Seleucus IV came to power and sent Heliodorus, his prime minister, throughout the land to collect taxes, and this is recorded in the Maccabees. Seleucus reigned 12 years. After this comparatively short reign, he was suddenly removed from his throne and believed to have been poisoned by Heliodorus, who was this prime minister. Thus he was destroyed neither in anger nor in battle. So he was assassinated, and he wasn't destroyed in anger nor in battle. So we will end there, and Lord willing, we will start next week in verse 21.